The Truth News Network.
Politics is hard to explain. The truth is hard to find. And spin is everywhere. From the mountain peaks of Zurich to the cathedrals of St. Petersburg, the Truth News Network is spreading reality. And here with your daily dose is Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Truth News Network. Well, we've got something different that happened to us today. We had another very special story that we're going to bring to you today, but something big came up on the world stage. We'll bring that good story to you later, but we're going to sidestep a little bit today because Robert Mueller, special counsel Robert Mueller, stepped out and did something he's never done before. At least I don't know of him doing it before. He held a press conference. That's right. He held a press conference. And so what he said in that press conference has set the world on fire. One thing that has led to the title of tonight's show is Robert Mueller, Forget Presumption of Innocence. Everybody was shocked when Mr. Mueller announced he was going to speak to the press on Wednesday, that's the 29th of May. Many more were shocked at what he had to say.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. 2 years ago, the acting attorney general asked me to serve as special counsel, and he created the special counsel's office. The appointment order directed the office to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. This included investigating any links or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the Trump campaign. Now, I have not spoken publicly during our investigation. I'm speaking out today because our investigation is complete. The Attorney General has made the report on our investigation largely public. We are formally closing the special counsel's office, and as well, I'm resigning from the Department of Justice to return to private life. I'll make a few remarks about the results of our work. But beyond these few remarks, it is important that the office's written work speak for itself. Let me begin where the appointment order begins, and that is interference in the 2016 presidential election. As alleged by the grand jury in an indictment, Russian intelligence officers, who were part of the Russian military, launched a concerted attack on our political system. The indictment alleges that they used sophisticated cyber techniques to hack into computers and networks used by the Clinton campaign. They stole private information and then released that information through fake online and identities and through the organization WikiLeaks. The releases were designed and timed to interfere with our election and to damage a presidential candidate. And at the same time, as the grand jury alleged in a separate indictment, a private Russian entity engaged in a social media operation where Russian citizens posed as Americans in order to influence an election. These indictments contain allegations, and we are not commenting on the guilt or the innocence of any specific defendant. Every defendant is presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. The indictments allege, and the other activities in our report describe, efforts to interfere in our political system. They needed to be investigated and understood, and that is among the reasons why the Department of Justice established our office. That is also a reason we investigated efforts to obstruct the investigation. The matters we investigated were of paramount importance. It was critical for us to obtain full and accurate information from every person we questioned. When a subject of an investigation obstructs that investigation or lies to investigators, it strikes at the core of the government's effort to find the truth and hold wrongdoers accountable. Let me say a word about the report. The report has two parts, addressing the two main issues we were asked to investigate. The first volume of the report details numerous efforts emanating from Russia to influence the election. This volume includes a discussion of the Trump campaign's response to this activity, as well as our conclusion that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy. And in the second volume, the report describes the results and analysis of our obstruction of justice investigation involving the president. The order appointing me special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. And we conducted that investigation, and we kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the volume two of our report explains that decision. It explains that under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he is in office. That is unconstitutional. Even if the charge is kept under seal and hidden from public view, that too is prohibited. The special counsel's office is part of the Department of Justice, and by regulation, it was bound by that department policy. Charging the president with a crime was therefore not an option we could consider. The department's written opinion explaining the policy makes several important points that further informed our handling of the obstruction investigation. Those points are summarized in our report, and I will describe two of them for you. First, the opinion explicitly permits the investigation of a sitting president because it is important to preserve evidence while memories are fresh and documents available. Among other things, that evidence could be used if there were co-conspirators who could be charged now. And second, the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing. And beyond department policy, we were guided by principles of fairness. It would be unfair to potentially accuse somebody of a crime when there can be no court resolution of the actual charge. So that was Justice Department policy. Those were the principles under which we operated. And from them, we concluded that we would not reach a determination one way or the other about whether the president committed a crime. That is the office's final position, and we will not comment on any other conclusions or hypotheticals about the president. We conducted an independent criminal investigation and reported the results to the Attorney General, as required by department regulations. The Attorney General then concluded that it was appropriate to provide our report to Congress and to the American people. At one point in time, I requested that certain portions of the report be released. The Attorney General preferred to make the entire report public all at once, and we appreciate that the Attorney General made the report largely public, and I certainly do not question the Attorney General's good faith in that decision. Now, I hope and expect this to be the only time that I will speak to you in this manner. I am making that decision myself. No one has told me whether I can or should testify or speak further about this matter. There has been discussion about an appearance before Congress. Any testimony from this office would not go beyond our report. It contains our findings and analysis and the reasons for the decisions we made. We chose those words carefully, and the work speaks for itself. And the report is my testimony. I would not provide information beyond that which is already public in any appearance before Congress. In addition, access to our underlying work product is being decided in a process that does not involve our office. So beyond what I've said here today, and what is contained in our written work, I do not believe it is appropriate for me to speak further about the investigation or to comment on the actions of the Justice Department or Congress. And it's for that reason I will not be taking questions today as well. Now, before I step away, I want to thank the attorneys, the FBI agents, the analysts, the professional staff who helped us conduct this investigation in a fair and independent manner. These individuals, who spent nearly 2 years with the special counsel's office, were of the highest integrity. And I will close by reiterating the central allegation of our indictments, that there were multiple systematic efforts to interfere in our election. And that allegation deserves the attention of every American. Thank you. Thank you for being here today.
That's Special Counsel Robert Mueller in a press conference he held on Wednesday, May 29th. Think about this. He stated that his team, if they could declare the president not guilty of those allegations that were made against him, would have included that the president wasn't guilty in the Mueller report. What does that actually mean? Well, follow this with me. Never before in U.S. history has any prosecutor, any federal prosecutor, ever felt an obligation under the law to prove the innocence of someone charged. Mueller is the very first to do so. Based on what you heard and saw above, Mueller has changed the very premise of U.S. law. A charged individual is considered innocent until and unless he or she is proven guilty. According to Robert Mueller, his investigative team, besides not finding Trump guilty of collusion or obstruction of justice, could not prove he is innocent of either. Now, folks, I'm not an attorney, but Mueller doing so is either trying to forever change innocence until proven guilty, or he takes that position for some other purpose. Want to bet which of those is his reason? So let's talk about changing history. The position that Robert Mueller has taken is a first in not just U.S. history, but a first in world history. Throughout every contemporary world government on earth, their judicial system in each of these countries adopted presumption of innocence as a foundation. On the front page of the website, we've posted a link for you to use to see the countries who do so. And it includes countries like France, Italy, the Philippines, China, Poland, Romania, Spain, Brazil, not to mention the countries of the European Union, and even Russia, and every Islamic country in their criminal and civil law as a default presume the innocence of the accused, with the burden of proof lying directly on the accuser, not on the accused. Apparently, Robert Mueller, that bastion of impartiality and the upholder of the law, decided on his own the U.S. no longer believes the presumption of innocence. Why do you think the sudden proposed change in the foundation of law was assumed by Mueller? Well, let's look at that very closely. Mueller is really after Trump. This is bullet point number one. Mueller is really after Trump. He couldn't find any hard evidence of guilt, so he left a doubt in the air to prompt the Democrat House of Representatives to begin impeachment proceedings. Honestly, I think this is not his reason. Even though he said in his press conference they could not find sufficient evidence to indict the president, he could have simply said this: "We are today turning over the evidence that we did uncover to the House for their use in the investigation into presidential wrongdoing. Congress and impeachment is not required to prove criminality on the part of the charged, in this case, President Trump. They merely are required by the Constitution to prove guilt in the commitment of, quote, high crimes and misdemeanors." Now, isn't that crazy? Those two words are nowhere in the Constitution defined. High crimes, misdemeanors. They are totally subjective. Bullet point number two. Mueller has been tasked by someone to lay the groundwork for nonstop Trump investigations through the 2020 elections. Now, that's a plausible possibility in that Democrats running for president, all 23 of them, and the Democrat National Committee, have put forth no legislative platform, no new ideas on any front, and have given Americans no good reasons for voters to, based on Trump policies and legislative and executive actions that Democrats claim are all wrong and evil, vote for their nominee in 2020. Once again, they find themselves with one thing and one thing only to use against Mr. Trump: impeachment. The timing for making impeachment last through the 2020 elections is perfect if they begin right now. Even though Mueller's team has exhaustive data, documents, written and recorded testimony of hundreds of witnesses, millions of pages of evidence, the Democrat House will slow play impeachment proceedings so they are justified in what they'll tell us all: we're going to make sure we do thorough investigations of their own to assure Americans they have all the facts. It's comical the Dems were so demanding for all of us to give Mueller room and latitude to complete his investigation with no interference or interruptions, but then they refuse to accept the Mueller findings. It's politics at its worst. Next bullet point: Mueller has something to hide, and he is kicking this can down the road to distract this from everyone until after 2020, whatever this is. As strange as this may seem, this is probably the most plausible of explanations for Mueller's actions, especially for calling that press conference, making his statement, and more importantly, taking no questions. That seems like an effort on his part to send a message to his minions, the Democrats, so they will take action with his cue. The last listed above is the explanation that I think Mueller did what he did based on. He's messaged members of the Democrat Party to circle the wagons around him because something really serious is about to happen. So what can that be? Who will it involve, and who or what will initiate it, and under what circumstances? The answers to those will blow your mind, and we're going to get to them in detail after this very short break at truthnewsnet.org. Sit tight.
From Krakow to Grand Island, Milan to Hanoi, this is TNN, the Truth News Network. Long live the courageous.
May God bless and keep you always. May you
the tenacious.
May you always do for
the ones who push forward
do for you.
And give back.
To the stars. Climb on every rung. May you stay.
Long live the greater good. The helping hand, those who fall and get back up, and long live the truck with the strength to overcome, the will to outwork, and the commitment to outlast them all. Ram, proven to last.
Speaking the truth, the mainstream press will not. Dan Newman,
TNN, the Truth News Network.
Back to our story today about Robert Mueller. Special Counsel Mueller held his press conference. This part of the story is called The Decoy. Fired FBI Director James Comey, former CIA Director John Brennan, DNI Head James Clapper, and others that many say are part of the deep state have become very vocal in recent days. Comey and Brennan have always had easy access to the media, but of late in social media and mainstream media television outlets, they are again regular fixtures, and they've become amazingly bombastic and nasty towards President Trump, which is no surprise to anyone, but they've turned their vitriol up a notch or two. Conventional wisdom is that because DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz is reportedly releasing one of his investigations reports in the next few weeks, the details in that report will certainly implicate at least Brennan, Clapper, and Comey for their wrongdoings in both the Clinton email debacle and in the alleged fraudulent FBI investigation of the Trump campaign. All three of these guys have each been caught in lies previously in sworn testimony before House and Senate committees. It is probable that Horowitz will address these issues and many more. And of course, There are many others like Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Andrew McKay, Bruce Orr, Nellie Orr, and many more from the Obama Justice Department who probably are in the Inspector General's crosshairs. His first report will tell that tale. But there's a second report coming from Inspector General Horowitz as well. There are plenty of Americans who feel more and more that additional Obama administration career politicians were involved in the propped-up FBI Trump campaign investigation from its inception. Several from the Obama White House staff have already been drawn into the investigation, while other big-name folks are yet to be mentioned. But certainly some, if not many, will be exposed in the second Horowitz report. Many believe those implicated could include Susan Rice, National Security Agency advisor to Obama, Samantha Power, United Nations UN ambassador, former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, and also Bill and Hillary Clinton. The name Barack Obama has been continually floated by those closest to Horowitz. But it's probable that even if the former president was involved, lower-level members of his administration would probably take the fall for any and all of his wrongdoing, if there is any. Only time will tell there. Now, what role would Bill and Hillary Clinton play in all of this? And where does Mueller fit into this picture? Hold on to your hats, folks. Here's the story of Bill and Hillary. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton facilitated the transfer of highly enriched uranium, it's called HEU, previously confiscated by the U.S. Department of Energy during a 2006 nuclear smuggling sting operation involving one Russian national and several Georgian accomplices, Georgian being the country, not the U.S. state. That's according to a newly leaked classified cable. The classified cable released by WikiLeaks was authored by Hillary Clinton's State Department on August 17th of 2009. In the cable, it states the following. In 2008, Russia requested a 10-gram sample of highly enriched uranium seized in early 2006 in Georgia during a nuclear smuggling sting operation involving one Russian national and several Georgian accomplices. The seized HEU was transferred to U.S. custody and is still being held at a secure Department of Energy facility. In response to the Russian request, the Georgian government authorized the U.S. to share a sample of that material with the Russians for forensic analysis. The cable also states that, quote, given Russia's reluctance to act so far, FBI Director Robert Mueller's delivery of the sample will underscore to Russia our commitment to follow through on this case. It continues in stating, and we quote again, Embassy Moscow is requested to alert at the highest appropriate level the Russian Federation that FBI Director Mueller plans to deliver that uranium sample once he arrives to Moscow on September 21st. Robert Mueller, FBI Director, was sent by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to Moscow to personally deliver a sample of highly enriched uranium. The cable summarizes that, quote, we regret that the April visit by Director Mueller could not take place due to a scheduling conflict, and makes a final request that, again, quote, we require that the transfer of this material be conducted at the airport, on the tarmac, nearby the plane upon arrival of the director's aircraft. Now, knowing that Obama administration and Hillary Clinton hid the FBI investigation into the Uranium One deal, that name, that company name is popped up again. This cable brings on new meaning and leads to numerous questions, like, why did Obama and Clinton agree to provide this uranium delivered by Mueller to Russia in the first place? Another question, why did Clinton's Secretary of State request that FBI Director Mueller deliver the sample of uranium to Russia himself, and why was the transfer in April canceled and postponed till September? The fact that Mueller needed to perform the transfer should raise numerous red flags. It's been widely reported about Mueller's conflicts of interest with his recent appointment as special counsel in the Russia investigation. Recently, information was reported that prior to the Obama administration approving that very controversial deal in 2010 that gave Russia 20% of America's uranium through the approved sale of Uranium One, the FBI had evidence that Russian nuclear industry officials were involved in bribery and kickbacks, extortion and money laundering in order to benefit Vladimir Putin. That's according to a report by The Hill. Mueller was handpicked by Hillary Clinton's State Department to deal uranium to Russia. So let's summarize today's story. What is Mueller attempting to hide? Robert Mueller is really a brilliant individual, no doubt about that. We wrote extensively about his personal and business history when he was first appointed as special counsel by President Trump. It's important to note that in his past business life, he initiated and was personally involved in multiple speckled circumstances in which he took dramatic and questionable actions that were never questioned by anyone. Why? He's the FBI director. Well, almost nobody questioned him, but Texas Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert certainly did. Take a look back at our four-part series on Mr. Mueller that started on July 28th of 2018. It's titled Robert Mueller Unmasked. Part one is an actual report that was written by Congressman Gohmert, and then part two, three, and four follow in consecutive order. It's a simple fact. Members of the proverbial deep state, and Mueller certainly is actually a charter member of that group, are masterful in hiding, covering, and making excuses for the wrongdoings of each other. The Obama administration was full of them, folks. We've mentioned just a few names in today's story, but know for certain there are dozens more that have a deep state ID card in their wallet or in their purse. You can bet that is true. And then why, oh why, would the director of the FBI be tasked by Hillary Clinton, then Secretary of State, that had no authority to dispatch anyone in the FBI to Moscow, especially not the director, to take that HEU uranium sample to Putin personally? The only answer that can be this: Hillary had or has something on Mueller that she threatened to expose if he did not take care of that tidbit of necessity to ramp up the closing of the Uranium One deal. If Mueller is as smart as most think he is, and if Mueller has the legal mind that most think he does, the only explanation for his doing so was that he owed the Clintons something and they had something on him. Think about it, folks. By taking that trip, he exposed himself as another Clinton sycophant. In closing, know this. Washington, D.C. and those who live and work in that swamp are known as the quid pro quo capital of the world. Nothing is done in that city unless somebody initiates it with a threat of blackmail, and in doing so, someone else then owes a favor to the initiator. Mueller in his charade press conference was out there not because he thought it was the right thing to do or that he wanted to do it. He was told by someone who has something on him to do it. Listen to what he said again. He stumbled. He hesitated. He sounded like somebody who just wanted to read what was there and get out of the room as quick as possible. So what happens now? Let's hope it all ends this way. First, Attorney General Barr releases the now unclassified documents that will show U.S. voters exactly what and who initiated the bogus Russia collusion investigation. Secondly, with the release, AG Barr starts letting indictments fly for all those implicated in those unclassified documents. Three, many of those indicted will turn on those above them, their handlers, by cutting a deal with the DOJ for immunity or negotiated sentences for their crimes. Fourth, Inspector General Horowitz will fill the missing spots with details he'll be shortly releasing of his investigation into the Clinton campaign, the DN server hack, the Clinton email server debacle, and Uranium One, and the involvement, if any, by the Clintons and or the Clinton Foundation. I doubt Attorney General Barr is going to let this all drag out. I feel strongly that he'll push hard for indictments, prosecution, and sentence adjudications. He's a no-play federal attorney who knows his way around an investigation and corrupt political operations. And one other thing, he's planning on retiring from prosecuting, and I don't think he's going to let this push his retirement back. He's not in it for political purposes. You can bet that. The last thing in this conversation, I hope President Trump will not get so angry, so tired, so disgusted with the dysfunctional American political system that he chooses to simply throw in the towel. Just how many Americans would stay in the line of fire as he has, when every day he and every member of his family are denigrated in the most vile ways, very publicly, often by people who are supposed to be honest and hardworking government servants? Not very many of us would do that. You could say much about Donald Trump. Yeah, he's a bit loud. Yes, he bloviates quite often. Yes, he is caustic. And yes, he brags a lot. But as Deion Sanders, former great defensive back for Florida State, then he played professional baseball, starred there, also a star for the Dallas Cowboys. Once he said to Howard Cosell in an interview when Cosell asked him why he bragged so much about his capabilities on the football field, Deion famously responded, "Howard, it ain't bragging if you can do it." Say what you will, but Donald Trump has accomplished a lot for Americans and our nation. Just imagine how much more he would have achieved if the deep state and the never Trumpers had just stayed out of the way. And that's a wrap on today's story. Another look, an intense look, at Robert Mueller and what we feel strongly is going on and we feel strongly will be exposed to the world in the upcoming days and weeks. Thanks for joining us here today at Truth News Network. We're glad to have you along. Make sure you stay close, and that story that we put off, we'll have it tomorrow for you, and it's really, really good. We just felt like this Mueller report was very timely, and we wanted to get it to you today. Until then, until tomorrow, we'll see you. Have a great day. So long, everybody.
When you can't control what happens, you can control what you know about it. That means the truth. Dan Newman on TNN,
the Truth News Network.